post-installation PNF software configuration. And for 5G, it's using the CDS work that we did this integration with SDC. At the design time that SDC will configure with the blueprint script for configurations, and also at linked into this SDC model for this resource model. And once it's distributed, it's stored in the SO catalog. So at installations, when there's one step which is called the PNF registrations. So at PNF registration, SO will verify if the flag is configured in the PNF model. If there is a configure, assign the configure, it will run the configure scripts, blueprint script using the self-service API, which will send a request to SDNC, to the controller, which is the CDS blueprint processor inside SDNC controller. Then the blueprint script will send requests to ODL, which will send a netconf message to configure the PNF. So this is a high level view of how it works. And this is a PNF model. So if you look at, this is just an example of one of the PNF model generated from SDC. So you have certain properties. This is all generated by SDC metadata, connection point. That's inside the box. This is the red text here. That there's a few properties. This is added in Dublin for VNF and the PNF configuration using the CDS self-service API. So you'll see this SDNC model name, SDNC model version, and this will be the indicator will be used when SO building block try to do the configuration or send this configuration request. It will, and in the configuration request, it will contain the identifier. So this is, will be used as part of this identifier to trigger this blueprint executions. Then you will have the artifact name, and this escape is just a flag to indicate if you want to skip the configuration or not. So this is what we implement in Dublin releases. In Frankfurt releases, we're also looking at to extend those things, those parameters, that adding more flag to indicate if we need to allow to use the CDS self-service API for PNF software upgrade. So this is something that we're working right now. Okay, any questions or comments?
Any questions? Okay, I have some questions. In the slide 2, I see that the design time size CDS, FE, and DE, actually I'm not very sure for what is the CDS's role in this part.
Well, CDS is a controller design studio. It's just to design this the blueprint, the scripts, those CBA, they call this CDS archive. So this is the way, this is more like the GUI and how you design this. This is more like design phase of this self-service API. It is a separate microservice, not 100% integrated with SDC. So the only thing that right now is integrated with SDC is once you have the blueprint script designed in the CDS, then you do a link in the SDC to link them together. So it will at the end, before this distribution, the CBA will be part of this distributed resource templates. So inside the resource template, you will see the pointer to one of the artifacts, which is the CBA archive.
Okay, so this for mainly for the PIMF or WinF configuration part, and that this blueprint will be introduced to the WinF template or to the service template.
It is right now in the PIMF template and the WinF template. It's already there. But in Dublin release, it's mainly for configuration purpose only. So it doesn't, we didn't do anything more than configurations. But the mechanism of this using CDS to assign the blueprint to a resource template and run the blueprint at the runtime, this mechanism is generic mechanism. So for instance, in Frankfurt release, we have a plan to do this RCM API evolution, which is today, if you look at the API between SO and the controller, they have this RCM API. And that's more like a traditional RCM API, which is different than this self-service API. So that one has certain limitations, which is the CDS self-service API is more powerful. So in Dublin, in Frankfurt release, we have a plan to just to enhance that CDS self-service API, which try to replace the RCM API. So for instance, when we do the PIMF software upgrade, the traditional way is that you need to initiate to execute the workflow in SO, which will trigger RCM API and send a request to SDNC and SDNC talk with the PIMF. This is a traditional way. It's still working today, but it's not our plan of to work with the PIMF software upgrade in Frankfurt. Our plan is to in this model, this PIMF model, we add one more flex and to indicate that we want to use a CDS self-service API to the PIMF software upgrade. So then when SO look at it, it will run this blueprint script. In this picture, I'm just showing the configuration, but when it's a software upgrade, it's the same thing that you will have the building block execution. It will run to trigger the self-service API will send to SDNC. So at this step, this is just a self-service API request. And inside the self-service API request, it will indicate which blueprint to run. And then the SDNC will run the blueprint script to do the software upgrade. So this will be more like the future of this RCM API. I'm not sure if I answered your question correctly.
That's the CDS mainly related to the configuration part. I mean, can we directly write the configuration information to the WinF template? Why do we have to use the CDS blueprint?
This configuration in the CDS is only have this configuration templates. So it has the blueprint scripts, it has the template, that's the only thing you have. So when you run it, you need to SO to execute that workflow and let the SDNC to run the configuration after the PIMF is instantiated, it's registered. So it's for WinF, it is same thing. That once the WinF is instantiated, and after that, you need to do this configuration, and you need to use SDNC to push that template down to the WinF.
Okay. What is your perspective for the service configuration? How do you think about this part?
So far, the service configuration is not implemented. It's only stay at the resource level. I'm not sure when you say service configuration. Are you referring to the connectivities between different BNF? What type of configuration are you referring to?
For me, currently, actually, I don't have a very executive conception of the surface configuration, what it should look like. I just know from the other SDO specifications know that there will be the service configuration part in the service model. But I also don't find any implementation or usage of the service configuration part. So that's why I ask.
The only information I can provide you is that if you look at the resource, this is in SDC, it's called the resource model. I'm showing PNF only here. But this can be a good example that in PNF, you have certain properties here. This is the property list here. And from here, you will see there's a PNF external connection point. This will be the Ethernet port of this PNF box. And there will be capabilities of that one. And then at a certain point, if you look at where it is, at a certain point, there should be some kind of, I think I'm not showing here, because normally you have a requirement or dependency at the end of this property. And just to link this connection point with the node. So it's basically just showing you need to have this connection point to that. And that link, you will have similar things if you look at the SDNC service template. Basically, the service template will have a shorter version of this guy. It only shows that there's a node template, then there's a connection point, and what's a connection between those two. And then you will see the connection point that what's a dependency. Normally it's on the substitution mapping that you will see what's the connectivities between different nodes. That's defined inside the service template. But it's quite similar like this. So if you do, if we can implement this service, this is a resource level configurations, then you will get your service level network configurations automatically, normally. But
let me just ask a question. Isn't the Controller Design Studio supposed to be providing a vendor independent abstraction for doing the configuration regardless of the vendors, and then that gets put into the blueprint ultimately, whereas the service designer is, as you said, more at the service level, so the two work together, right? They don't overlap, or they're not intended to. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct. They need to work together because the blueprint design is operator responsibility, but they need to look at the vendor provided requirement, the input to do that blueprint. So at the same time, they also need to look at the service level requirement to design that one.
Right, there's a vendor dependency, but at the design level, that should be abstracted. There should be some mapping into a vendor data model, ultimately, that would do the translation for that particular vendor's equipment, which then would somehow be incorporated into the blueprint. But I think there's a bigger picture, maybe that needs to be tied together, that shows the data models and how they get configured and work together. I think maybe that would be.
Yes, yes, you are right. Yes, because each product has its own data model. It's normally in this case, I'm showing this young model. The young model is a vendor-specific young model. So when design the blueprint,
right,
based on the vendor provide young model, you design the blueprint scripts. That's correct.
Exactly, exactly. All right, I think that might be causing the confusion, seeing how those come together. It's not obvious from this picture. That's all. All right, thank you.
Welcome. Okay, any more questions or comments? Okay, thank you. That's all my presentations.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. What I'm looking is that we see from the presentation that currently the CDS can do WinF or PIF configuration, but back to our service model. Do you think we for the currently in service model, do you think we need the configuration service configuration part? What do you think?
I think to answer that question, we just have the broader question of how that configuration, how the profile, I think we almost have to answer that all together.
Oh. Okay. So
I guess, so service properties. So the service properties and service configuration, maybe answering that together collectively, how we want to handle.
Okay. My understanding, first, I think the service property is totally different with the configuration part.
Now the service properties is something you updated recently, right?
Yes.
Please explain.
Okay. I'm going to say, first, I updated the definition for the service property. It is almost the former one. It is a set of, first, it is a set of properties that was very strongly related to this service, and this property is more describing the service capability. I think if you are doing the slicing use case, for example, you need the service slicing properties. For example, three GPP attributes, like there is all the 3GPP attributes. This totally aligned with the 3GPP specification, and I just take example like latency or latency or user mobility level. I will later give the detailed explanation of this picture, but first I will see the conception. And but if you're doing the CCVPN use case, you don't need any of the slicing properties. You need another set of properties that is used specially for the CCVPN part. But for the configuration, I think it is no different or distinguish with the service you are providing, no matter it's slicing or no matter it's CCVPN, it is the service configuration will needed more turns to the service itself. For example, like what Zhu just say it may be tell the connections between multiple VF or multiple services that is invariant with the what service are using will use this service. It is more focused on the service itself. So that is the my understanding for the configuration and the service property.
So could you go back to the diagram for a moment?
Okay. You mean this one?
The one that goes into more detail on service property. So so we're saying service properties can be subclassed. So you're going to use some examples.
Mm.
Okay, so let's go back to the definition.
Mm.
So one comment I would have, and this is, you know, I haven't thought too hard about this. So you say a set of properties that holds the service-specific information, which are strongly related to the service. Now, given it has an association to the service, you know, it's a given that it's related to the service, but are you also saying that this is a set of properties which are strongly related to each other? You're treating them as a group. And if you go back to the subclass, you have, you know, a service network slice or whatever you called it, and service 3GPP service profile. So I'm wondering, and so I'll say it again, that perhaps your statement is that these attributes are strongly related to each other. You're treating them as a group.
I think these attributes is together are related strongly, so they usually work as a group and present as a group.
Exactly. Mm. So my suggestion would be somewhere in the definition, you state that these attributes collectively they're related to each other, they're working as a group, and then as a group they are somehow applying to the service. So that would be one comment.
Okay, so
second comment, go ahead.
So you suggest me to change the description and add to say they are working together.
They're working together, they relate together. Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
The second point I would make, and I know we've kind of talked about this sort of thing before, mm-hmm. is what this is suggesting is every time you introduce a new group of attributes, you know, almost the definition, some group of attributes working together that affect the service, you're going to add a new subclass. So that would suggest updating the model every time. So the reason that I raise that, if you go back to the big diagram again, and I'll go back to the question you asked at the beginning, do we still need service, what did we call it? Service configuration, configurable properties. Do we still need configurable properties? The answer is maybe not, but do we want to have this service properties class you're proposing some means to have completely dynamic, basically have some sort of a tag value or a dynamic set of properties that doesn't require it to be subclassed as part of the service properties definition?
Yes.
And if you do that, I would be comfortable with removing the configurable properties.
Yes, Kevin, you I understand correctly. Actually, I also have this question. I think it's ideally should be just a class leave a spaces for the service provider or the consumers that it can add the attributes whatever he want. But I'm not sure if we just leave a parent class here. How does this will be implemented in the or how can it write to the data model, and how can we inform the runtime which attributes we should hold in this part? That this is relative to your concern, Kevin?
I think so.
So, Brislav, do you have any thoughts about this question?
Not at the moment.
Anyone who is familiar with the data model, I think the current requirement is we need a independent space that will hold a set of attributes, and but we don't want to hard coding the attributes before, and we want to leave this space here for the service designer to supplement it. So how can we do in the model?
Yeah, so you know, putting it that way, so we want to have the ability that the designer can create additional attributes. And that could, and that kind of goes to that dynamic attribute thing that I'm puzzling over, and that could perhaps be done via service properties if we add the ability just to have some sort of a tag value, or you know, some means to specify a dynamic attributes, whether we keep it simple or make it sophisticated. That also might suggest, and of course, this isn't just a service properties issue. It could be a resource properties issue, you know, a VNF, a PNF, whatever we might have. So then it's not just service properties. It's kind of the back to the, maybe it goes off the design entity, and it's you know, I don't know, something else, entity properties or design entity properties, and then it's inherited by everything. Also, then it would suggest that the service properties itself maybe has a name. So you could distinguish, you know, whatever that group, where we're saying it's a group of properties that somehow act together. So, you know, we start generalizing it. And then I think it would perhaps cover a number of issues.
Mm.
And I'm happy to maybe think about this a little more and post it as a comment, if that would help.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you, Kevin.
Sorry, I had to step out for a couple of minutes, and maybe already discussed.
Did I lost you?
Borislav, I'm confident we discussed it and answered the question, but you missed it.
Sorry, my network is also not that stable, so I'm sometimes missing a few words. I lost your comment.
Oh, I was just—it was just a joke. I said whatever your question was. I think we answered it, but you missed the answer.
Oh, I see. I'm really sorry if I'm going in circles. I see here now service properties and configurable properties, and one of them is a data type or a class, and one of them is a key value pair. And I am not sure if we need both.
I agree.
So I was thinking about service property data type, maybe, which would have inside different things like property name, property mandatory or not mandatory, property type, property value, some rules for the property maybe. And then we can have a service property with like key value or just some collection of the service property type. And maybe this could replace both the service properties and or the configurable properties.
I agree. I think I was thinking along the same lines. I know that, you know, of course we're in different time zones and different primary languages. One of the things perhaps we could do, Borislav, is maybe both of us post some comments along the line of what we've been saying, and then see if that helps us with communication of our thoughts and some proposal.
Sure, of course. And also, I think I heard your comment regarding that this can be also reserved properties.
Yes.
So I totally agree with this. And as I shown last week, we can define properties the same way for resources as we define properties for services in SDC. So maybe it should go to the design entity level and not to the service descriptor level.
Exactly. I agree.
All right.
Okay. So Jester, are you suggesting that we introduce the something like a structure to the service property, and with the attributes, with maybe four attributes like attributes name and attributes type, or whatever, and leave it for the designer to write to the content. Are you suggesting it?
Yes, I think so.
I think also it's possible that the group itself, you know, so what we kind of talked about a little earlier, is the group itself might be acting together. So the group could have a name, you know, whatever it is. You gave the example of a network slice or service properties, or maybe it has something to do with, you know, IP addresses or something. I don't know. So the group has a name, and then the individual attributes, of which there could be one or more, they have a name. And as Borislav was saying, they maybe have a type and mandatory or not, and some things along that line.
Okay. And I think Kevin, you and Borislav will together comment or feel more detailed about the thinking, right?
I think that would be a good idea. I think that would help move this whole along.
Okay, okay, thank you. So the source property, I think we can bring it with the next time new proposal. And actually for this model part, we still have one remaining question is for the instance sharing number. I will show again the use case. This attribute originally is used for the deletion use case. If we wanted to delete for the service, if it is shared, if we wanted to delete the service, can we directly delete the service instance? I think this is the background. And currently we have in the service instance, have an instance sharing member to show how many times or how many services are using this service instance. And in our discussion, we suggest to add more attributes to show the maximum number that a service can be shared. I think this is the background. So I add a new attribute here named max available number in the service descriptor to show the definition here. To show the allowed maximum number of the shared times that one service can provide. That's currently my understanding for the use case and the two attributes. But for me, for myself, I have two questions. The first one, where can we get the number? And the second, will this number have some differences if the service is nested? Will the children service, the number of the children service affect the parent service?
First of all, I think it's a good idea to add this. My concern, and I think it aligns with your question, is how do we, first of all, how do we define whether it can be shared or cannot? It's on instantiation time. We need to provide this information. The maximum available number of shares is also something that we know during instantiation. Unless at some point we are doing scaling, and then this may change. But initially, I think it should be an input parameter. Now the question is the relation between the nested service and the parent service. And I mean, if some service is nested inside another service, what is the meaning of this parameter in this case? This one I'm not really sure.
The second question, I mean, is for example, the service A is composed, has two children, parents B and C. So A is composited by B and C. And if we give A, for example, A, the most available number for A is 10. A will have two services, B and C. If C, the number for C is 6, and the number for B is 7. So what will be the number for the parent A service? That the available number will be affected by B and C. For example, will it be the 6 for the minimum children service will hold? Or they are in relative.
Right. So here we are creating some difficult calculations. So I'm trying to think how we can simplify this. So maybe we can say that the nested service, if it's shared, then this shared instance will have some specific value in this max available number. And when if the composite service is itself nested to some other service, and if it's all also shared, then it will have its own, maybe different number. So I'm thinking maybe this should be on the level of instance and not on the level of the service or the, on the design time itself.
I'm okay with the instance part, but back to the question one, how can we get this number?
Might jump in. I don't think it's a number. The reason is this: the goal is if you want to indicate that this service is shareable, that's all you need to indicate. But actually, come up with a value has multiple inputs to that calculations. One calculation could be based on the current load of other services, and then those services have a certain load of what the maximum VNF is capable to do, right? Because you are nested and nested in multiple nests. So on top of that, it's also the function of the licenses of that service or license of the VNF. So to come up with a number at the design time is probably not going to be practical. Even if I come up with a number, but when it is instantiated, the service is deployed, the dynamic of that number change. So I don't think it's appropriate to measure as a value. Now, I can understand that a service could be a shareable. To me, by default, naturally, any service template can be shareable, meaning that I can be nested. So having any kind of indicator or number, it's just complicated and probably is not going to be useful in my mind.
Tin, I agree with you regarding that it is not necessarily a number. It can be some other quantity, like maybe frequencies range or something like this, or anything else. We need somehow on the instance level to be able to describe how what is the pool of quantities of whether it's a number of instances, where it's number of CPUs, where it's a range of frequencies that we can divide or allocate between different sharings of this service.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I didn't want to jump into this another dimension of a topic. To me, it's really relate to runtime performance, KPI or performance metrics. Now, we can look at it further to think through is, you know, if a service that's currently instanced and you set the criteria that you want to share, you're willing to share this service if it is at certain conditions, right? I can expose my capability and my template, say, hey, I will willingly share my service if I'm currently at this below KPI metrics. Right? And then if I'm at certain KPI metrics, I'm willing to take additional share service or burden at this range so that another service can nest it to me, knowing that I will have that much of range calculated. So all those could be fit into, you know, performance measurement, KPI discussions, and so forth. So that's to me, that's dimension. Now, currently, we don't have any kind of indicator or any kind of flag that said, how deep can I nest it, right? Or shared in the chain. Now, we could have blindly strict in ONAP that, you know, only one level sharing for simplicity. Or if we say we're going to let a value of number level of sharing, then we need to figure out how we calculate that and how we maintain that catalog or maintain that database so that we know we don't exceed the number of level of nested. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I think so.
So I'm more focused on trying to focus on either share and how many level do I want to share? How deep in this network service or service chaining type of template system?
Okay, so what do you propose?
My proposal is first, let's not put a maximum available number. Perhaps having a level of sharing or the depth, the level of sharing, how many level do I want to share or nest it? Or we make it a generic statement that our model is only one level nested. To me, for simplicity, I would start with one level.
Yeah, I agree with it.
So if we agree that let's start very simple so we don't have to figure it out and calculate and track all this, then we can say at the beginning that, you know, the model, this model that we work, that's the service template or the service object, can be one level sharing or one level nested.
Sting, I think nested doesn't equal to shared. Do you agree with me?
Right, I agree with that. I think for this stage of discussion, we can say that we are not calculating if some service is shared multiple times because it's nested in different levels in different services. I think we just need to define some parameter which will hold some data type which will describe the sharing quantity, like max available quantity. And this thing can be either a number, if it's like number of CPUs which can be shared, or number of VFCs that can be under some VNF, or number of VNFs which can be in this service. And then it should also be able to quantify other things like ranges or like maybe something else. So it shouldn't be an integer, but it shouldn't be something too complex.
Can I read a question? I wasn't clear. Are you saying there is a difference between nested versus shared services? Are they the same?
Yes. A nested service can be either shared or dedicated. Like I have service A, which is a composite service, and service B, which is a nested service. This service B can be either dedicated, and then when I instantiate service A, I also instantiate service B, or it can be shared. So when I instantiate service A, I am looking for an existing instance of service B, and I'm using it.
Okay.
So this is actually
because in my mind, if I nest it, I'm already shared it. I'm part of that, so I'm sharing that service.
No, not necessary.
Okay.
So this attribute, I think it is boost relative to if it's shared, and boost it relative to if it is nested. So from the theory, I think it is a complicated question for this attribute. So do you think we need the maximum number now for the model? Because I'm thinking maybe just the share rate currently can satisfy the our demand.
I think we need to somehow specify this. Maybe call it max available quantity and not max available number. And we do not really know the type of this parameter at this stage. So maybe it can be some abstract type, or maybe it's some data structure which says what is the type and what is the value, and maybe also some explanation of how this quantity is measured.
However, whatever it is, should be in the instance model side.
I think it should be on the instance model side. Okay. Because the same service can be instantiated with different maximum available quantity. Like if you are looking at some some firewall, maybe it can have one VRF, maybe it can have 10 VRFs, maybe it can have 20 VRFs, and it depends on the size, which is known only on the input, or on the number of licenses which it's instantiated with.
Okay. So you said it is actually not instantiated, but more like some properties that record the instance capability.
Yes.
Okay.
For the meeting minutes, I think we do properly say, because if someone read this like me, I don't attend regularly, I would assume that the team already make a decision. I would say the max AN is for further study one, and then you can put a period that make clear that it's no decision, and then we can say that one possible thinking or possible to explore, and then you can put the statement that Boris read it out.
Yes, it should be. I just write some simple point here, and later I will supplement fully.
Yeah, and may I come back to the issue of Nest and share service? And I know this time's up. And maybe just put it in the note and we can discuss next week, next time.
Mm.
I went back and looked at the shared description, right? It's, if you go to the row called I share or is shared, you shared it on the description table. Oops. It say describe this service descriptor is shared or not in the service design. Now, I'm looking at it as a practical, as an orchestrator, service orchestrator. What's that mean? Does that mean that if I instantiate this, deploy this service, this service is can be shared by another service. I mean the traffics or another, there's a dependency of another service.
I think your question. Okay, go ahead, Professor.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think this part is handled in the instance, whether it is shareable or not is shareable. Okay, and it's handled by the parameter instance sharing number. Okay, and if it's maybe I'm wrong. Correct me, Chui, if this is
yes or no, only true or false type.
Right. Sorry. Maybe I'm wrong. We were discussing this multiple times, and I'm already a little bit confused. So there are two things which are happening during instantiation. One is when we are creating a service, and we are saying, is this service shareable or not shareable? And then how many times it's shareable. And this is what we wanted to encompass in the max available number. So if max available number is zero, then this service is not shareable. And now we want to change it to max available quantity. And similarly, if the quantity is zero, then it's not shareable. If it's different, then it is shareable. Okay, now the other thing, the is shared, and maybe we should change the is shared to something else, is useful when I'm decomposing a service and want to instantiate a service. I'm looking at its composite services, like its nested services. Okay, so I have service A, which is a composite service, and in this service A, I have service B, which is nested, and this service B, in context of service A, is either shared or dedicated. So I need to tell tell the orchestrator when I'm instantiating service A, whether to create a new instance of service B or find an existing one. So how do I tell the orchestrator that service B is shared or dedicated, right? And this is on the design time, because during the design time, I'm deciding whether the service B is shared or dedicated. So I need somehow to mark in context of service A that some service B is either shared or dedicated. I think this is the intention of this parameter.
Okay. in the way Etsy does, the way we're doing it is by nested. So if the way we indicate to an orchestrator, right, or even task orchestrators, if I see a template, right, and then the template called, you know, network service A, right, that is my service template, and then it, within my service template, in my node template, also indicate there is a network service B. That indicate to me that I also need to deploy a service B. I don't need any kind of indicator. The node template and the node in the design naturally already indicate to me. So at the design time, if you want to put service B, service A inside service B, then you put that in as a node template as a time when you generate the task of service template.
Right. Right. And this is similar to, I think it's implemented according to what you say in SDC when we are creating the Tosca template. If the nested service is dedicated, it's put there as a node template and then it's instantiated. And if it's shared and we do not need to create a new instance for this nested service, then there is a selectable attribute and also a filter rules
now,
for how to select
now,
the specific
instance. If this,
so in Tosca, this is solved. I think it's not solved in our model here.
But
I'm not sure how to represent it.
Yeah, but if you think this may need it as part of SDC design time, then that's a different discussions that we, I mean, I'm not against it. If SDC needs something at design time, that's okay. But to actually put it in the model for deployment, because it talk about deployment and instantiate, then I have to think it as a term of practical as an orchestrators.
I see this.
Yeah, time. Can we come back on this topic to separate between the design time to help SDC and then what's needed for deployment, the template, the output?
I think this is different from what you said, the XA network service. This is a function that for the SO to distinguish when we set up a service. Do we need to use a dedicated, do we need to create a new dedicated service, or we can reuse or share the what is existing service instance? I think it is important for the slicing, especially the slicing use cases. But today,
we think of, wait. No. That's not make it more worse. If you want to use a slice or share, that's the runtime. That's the at the runtime instance. Okay,
yes.
The value, the template, and the instance. I mean, I'm sorry, the service name and the properties still the same, but at the runtime, the external entity, right, who provide the current instant value that can be input to the deployment. For example, let's just say I have service A and service B, and service B is the one that I'm sharing on nested, and it's already been out deployed, right? And now I'm trying to deploy the service A. I receive, me as an orchestrator, I receive the template. I will process that template. And then I process as a template service A. And then when I get to the node template for the service B, the input as part of my API or the input to deploy this, I receive a specific runtime value.
I think this is not the approach we took in this design. There are two methods to design this. One is whether we define during design time whether a nested service is shared or dedicated. Another approach is to have some parameter which can be input, which will say whether the service is shared or dedicated. So these are two different approaches. You're talking about the second approach. We are describing here the first approach, that during design time, you define whether the nested service will be shared or dedicated, and then from this service template, when you create instances of the service, then it will be consistent when you create it. If you define this nested service as shared, it will always be shared, not dependent upon any input parameter.
Yes. So, if you still have some questions, maybe we can bring back next meeting. Is that okay? Or you can leave comments here.
So wait, to make sure that then we need to change this, because this is really only at the design time, got nothing to do with deployment.
Deployment is looking at the design. And then it deploys according to what is specified.
Because why am I orchestrator have to deal with this share or not share? Why do
you
I need
can to also build services with just properties without using this, and then you can have a property on each service, and it will tell you, and it will be an input parameter whether to create a new instance or to find an existing one. This is not restricting. Both approaches are.
I don't mind having this at the design time, so that helps. But when the SDC generate a template, I will go through that template, and I don't need to go through and look at it and decide, oh, this boolean is set, so how am I going to set that? It's already decided at the design time, is this service a share or not? There's no need to keep a runtime value of this share or not share.
No, this is an information.
Do you agree with that?
It's on a service descriptor level, it's not on the instance level. So this is something for design.
Yes, then we should make it very clear this is to help the SDC or design time. But the value here should not be propagated into the deploy template.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to change the name from is shared to something else. We already discussed this, I think, a few months ago, but we just didn't find a good enough name to replace it. So if you have a suggestion of what to name this property, I'm very happy.
Yes, if you have suggestions, you can leave comments here. But we really need to close today's meeting if it's possible.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you all for today's discussion. Thank you for joining today's meeting.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.